Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. The loss of an expensive Russian satellite was due to an error in the coordinates that were programmed into it at launch. Apple has apologized after facing criticism for admitting it deliberately slows down aging iPhone models. Google has developed a human-like text-to-speech AI. And as it turns out, the Nigerian prince is actually a 67-year-old man from Louisiana. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. The loss of an expensive Russian satellite was due to an error in the coordinates that were programmed into it at launch. The Russian deputy prime minister has said that the loss of a multi-million dollar weather satellite in November was due to programming errors. Dmitry Rogozin said Meteor M had been programmed for a liftoff from a different launch site. And speaking to Russian state TV, he blamed human error. He told the TV channel that the rocket was programmed as if it were taking off from a launch pad nearly 2,600 kilometers away from the actual takeoff point. The rocket contained 18 smaller satellites belonging to research and commercial companies from Russia, Norway, Sweden, the US, Canada, Germany, and Japan. Russia's space agency Roscosmos said last month that it had lost contact with the weather satellite, which was worth 2.6 billion rubles, the equivalent of about $58 million or 43 million pounds. Wowzers.
I shouldn't laugh at something like this, but I'm thinking, if you're in charge of a multi-million dollar satellite, like, that's a big oops. You would think there would be some checklist that would go, did you check that we reprogrammed the calculations?
I can't help but think this was a programmer who made this mistake.
We'll blame it on AI.
Oh.
I just feel a little bit better when I make mistakes now. Like, I have called...
That's a big mistake. Like, what is 2,600 kilometers away from here?
Just probably the next launch pad.
Yeah.
They probably had a scroll down list and they just clicked the wrong one.
Ew.
All of those.
So here are your directions. Turn left, turn right, turn left, go straight for 10 kilometers. But now start that from 2,600 kilometers away and see if you end up at Starbucks.
So it makes me wonder, though, like, what was it in the calculation that made it get, like, because obviously it goes up in orbit and then it's supposed to go around the orbit. So,
but if it thinks it's here, and it's actually here.
Right, so it went outside of the gravitational pull. Is that what happened and just kept going?
Aren't there, like, windows that they can get through in the atmosphere that...
Well, it all has to do with, like, trajectory and rotation of the Earth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, what if it happened to go the other way, and instead of going too far out because of where it was, it goes, oh, we're here, and all of a sudden... Boom, crashes back to Earth and hits
right.
Like a city
or
something.
Well, that's the thing. Now that it's lost contact or something, are we at risk? Are parts of it going to come back through the atmosphere in any way?
I don't think so. My understanding of this one is it's gone.
Oh, okay. So we don't have to worry about cleanup?
No, I think it's floating.
We don't have to worry about, like, nothing. It's good? It's just
That's my understanding
gone?
On this one. It's just, it's on its way somewhere
it's
else.
It's just more space debris to...
That's right.
To navigate through. And
the Martians will deal with it.
I don't know.
You take care of that one, Matt Damon.
it's becoming a bigger issue. I think that the whole kind of, like, the, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's an orbital diagram that shows the Earth
and
the orbit of all the junk.
Yes.
Not just the satellites, but the junk.
That
and it looks like the rings of Saturn.
This
it's
saddens
crazy.
Me. We are just a kind of a disgusting species.
We litter,
oceans are bad, the Earth is bad,
sure.
The air is bad, and
it's
we're
bad.
Like, let's take it to space.
It's bad, but now shoot a rocket up into space. Shoot a satellite up into space or try to fly to Mars and get hit by thousands of pieces of space debris traveling at tens of thousands of kilometers an hour.
And that
bananas.
Is a concern now. I mean,
absolutely.
In the last 15, 20 years, they've been talking about how do we clean that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How? So, yeah.
Cleaning up space.
And they've said that over the past 50 years, one piece of space junk hits the atmosphere per day and presumably either burns up or makes its way down to Earth.
Are we waiting for a Chinese satellite to crash or something? I've been watching this in the news. I think there's like a satellite that's slowly getting close to Earth and they're waiting for it to crash.
Oh, yeah?
And they're concerned that it might hit land depending on when it falls.
Ah.
That could be dangerous.
That could be.
That's one of those things happened. You don't think about, but is really scary. And by you don't think about, I mean I don't think about.
Yeah. I think it was
clearly the programmer for the satellite didn't.
I think it was the early 90s where they saw a big portion of a space shuttle or
that's
something
right, yeah,
that
crashed
came
in
down.
The ocean or something.
No, it came down in the desert.
So.
Right.
Yes. And then we think, you know, what are the risks involved, right? So yeah, I start thinking, okay, well, you know, a big piece of space junk falling to Earth, what's going to happen if it hits a city or something?
Right.
And the reality of it is I found out that back in the 60s, it actually happened. A woman got hit by space junk.
Really?
Yes.
See, I've heard of people getting hit by the blue poo water from planes.
Oh, gross.
But
oh, gross. Jeff, I did not need to know that. But so she got hit by space junk.
Wow.
And turns out she was fine.
She was fine?
She was fine.
A lot of
them
turns
up. I feel like most of it burns up. Yeah, it looks like a shooting star.
It was like take a piece of paper and throw it at someone. Like that's the effect that she because it was a piece of the fuselage that was like a mesh and it fell and it was like 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters and just kind of drifted down in the wind or whatever and tapped her on the shoulder. But it actually happened. But it could be a giant piece of an engine or something, I suppose.
I feel like most of the time it would incinerate. Like, you have to be at the exact right angle for reentry, don't you?
Yeah.
That's why it's scary when people come in. Don't they have to be at the right angle or else they burn apart?
Yeah.
But if you come in too hot.
When you get something like SpaceX sending up satellites and shuttles that explode or rockets that explode, that's an uncontrolled thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not planned. We didn't intend for it to explode on its way up into the atmosphere. That's why they ship them up off of the water, right?
Yeah. That makes
because
sense.
We are predominantly a water based planet. So,
right. Okay. Well, we have to clean up our space.
Uh-huh.
Turns out, Apple has apologized after facing criticism for admitting that it deliberately slows down some of its aging iPhone models. The company now says it will replace batteries for less and will issue software in 2018 that will enable customers to monitor their phone's battery health. Some customers had long suspected that the company slowed down older iPhones to encourage customers to upgrade. Apple admitted to slowing down some phones with aging batteries, but said it was to prolong the life of the devices. In a statement posted on its website, the firm said it would reduce the price of an out-of-warranty battery replacement from $79 to $29 in the U.S. for anyone with an iPhone 6 or later, and in the U.K. the price will drop from £79 to £25. It said it was pushing ahead with measures to address customers' concerns, to recognize their loyalty, and to regain the trust of anyone who may have doubted Apple's intentions. The firm has had 8 separate lawsuits in the U.S. filed against it over the matter and had also been facing additional legal action in Israel and France. Apple acknowledged earlier this month that it does deliberately slow down some models of the iPhone as they age and said that they made changes to the iOS operating system in order to manage aging lithium-ion batteries in some devices because the battery's performance diminishes over time.
I feel like this isn't really. I didn't see this story because how often do you go, oh, my phone's like a year and a half old. It's pretty slow now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had iPhones. That was our biggest complaint, and that's why we stopped using them.
Yeah. Because the users know.
Yeah.
Now they got found out. And they have this story to go along with it?
Right, so they're backtracking. They're like, we're not doing this planned obsolescence thing. We're doing a battery protection thing.
Sure.
If you were doing a battery protection thing, you would have told us at the purchase that you were going to protect our batteries.
Good point.
You did not do that. So I'm calling your bluff.
And really, this is not how reality works.
Yeah.
If I sell you something that is my product, I don't make that product worse and worse and worse because it's getting older and I want to extend its life for you.
See, what I'm interested to see, though, is are these lawsuits going to allege that this is a ruse by Apple's part to force you to get a new phone because yours can't handle it?
I'm sorry, but that is Apple's business model.
Sure it is.
That's how
Apple make their own
works.
Product obsolete so you go with the next one.
Absolutely.
Right. I feel like maybe Apple should just be really honest and be like, of course we made your old phone bad. You don't want your old phone. You want your new phone, and it's at the store. So go get it.
I would be interested to see now if somebody gets a battery replacement, puts it in an older phone, if suddenly the life is restored, and if they're going to turn around and say, I bought a new phone when I didn't need to, you owe me the price for
sure.
That phone.
But hold on, my camera, the batteries just don't last as well as they used to. So what do? I take out the battery and I replace it. And my camera works perfectly.
Right.
The iPhones. Canon did not make my phone, my camera not work anymore.
Right. But see, with the iPhones, most people don't know how to replace a battery.
Sure.
I replaced Jen's battery when it slowed down.
Yeah.
Brought new life to it.
Did it?
Yeah.
No.
It was a pain in the butt.
Sure.
Because you have to completely dismantle the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You void your warranty and all that. But I did it, and it was great. I mean, we got an extra year out of it.
Okay.
So.
What are your thoughts? Planned obsolescence or trying to
Definitely.
Give you longer life?
Undoubted planned obsolescence, in my opinion. In a major step towards its AI-first dream, Google has developed a text-to-speech artificial intelligence system that will confuse you with its human-like articulation. According to reports, the text giant's text-to-speech system, called Tacotron 2, delivers an AI-generated computer speech that almost matches the voice of humans. The internet giant has announced it is shifting its focus from mobile-first to AI-first, and we've seen them launch several products and features in line with that goal, including Google Lens, Smart Reply for Gmail, and Google Assistant for iPhone. The new text-to-speech system first creates a spectrogram of the text, a visual representation of how the speech should sound. That image is put through Google's existing WaveNet algorithm, which uses the image and brings AI closer than ever to indiscernibly mimicking human speech. The algorithm can easily learn different voices and even generates artificial breaths.
Wow.
That is awesome. On the basis of its audio samples, Google claimed that Tacotron 2 can detect from context the difference between the noun desert and the verb dessert. Yes. And the noun present and the verb present, and alter its pronunciation accordingly. It can place emphasis on capitalized words and apply the proper inflection when asking a question rather than making a statement. Google's engineers did not reveal much information, but left a big clue for developers to figure out how far they've come in developing the system. They did this by dropping a handful of wave samples and leaving it up to developers to guess which were the real human speech and which were created by the AI.
That's amazing. Now, first of all, us humans have trouble differentiating
that's the thing. I'm like, now. Okay.
Do you guys want to hear?
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear?
Sure.
So head over to cat5.tv/taco, and here she is.
Generative adversarial network or variational autoencoder.
That is a really difficult sentence to say. Generative adversarial network of, I can't even do it.
Variational autoencoder.
Oh, way to go.
He has read the whole thing.
I think we'd be hard-pressed to tell if that was a real person. Like, if you heard that on the phone, let's try another one. This one, the buses aren't the problem, they actually provide the solution.
The buses aren't the problem, they actually provide a solution.
Okay, what I find funny about that one is you actually read it wrong.
Sorry. So, she's so much better than me in every way.
Yeah, you said the buses aren't the problem, they actually provide the solution. And in this case, it's actually written a solution. So your brain automatically replaced a word because you're used to the solution, not a solution.
Yeah, let's get the grammar right.
But it's funny how the AI
would she
doesn't
handle that?
Have that thought process of assuming what the text would be.
Is she really good with UK city names?
Okay, so that's what I'm thinking as you're reading this, is what, like,
okay,
could it do accents?
How would she handle this, though? So here's, this is really awesome.
This is really awesome.
Okay. Now, how about a tongue twister?
Okay.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
So natural and so incredible. It's just amazing.
That's
so.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, but here is the thing about it. Before you take the thing from me, I will take it. So when you answer the phone and you think you're talking to a robot,
that was
you
my
hang
thing.
Up the phone. But right. when you think you're talking to a person, you don't hang up the
so
phone.
So now we implement the AI portion of the thought processes and the machine learning and can actually communicate.
Yes.
That was my thing, Sasha. You stole, I'll let you have it this time, but next week, don't steal it from me.
We are this close to Lieutenant Commander Data.
Yep.
I just,
nice.
Yeah, I feel like this probably is going to be one of those situations where we can see some good and some bad.
I still want to go back to the accent piece. Like, I think when Siri first came out.
Oh, it's going
to
happen, absolutely.
Yeah, and Siri couldn't understand Irish.
Right.
Like, yeah. Could you use this to create accents and different, maybe, dialects?
Ooh, I'm sure machine learning would say, let's learn from ourselves. It's like the machine teaching the machine.
Right.
So now I'm going to listen to this speech that I have created.
But I wonder if they'll come up with better words for us.
Maybe.
Like,
but
you've
how
been
cool.
using this word way too often. You don't need to. So.
But what I'm wondering is, how cool would it be to use this to recreate lost vocabulary? Where maybe a certain dialect and the way that it was said, the accents, like, been lost because the civilization has disappeared.
My
That'd be
mind,
so cool.
My mind is blown on English.
Fair enough.
Klingon would be a nice addition, but let's take it one step further and bring back lost languages. Sasha, back to you.
An American fraudster has been caught in relation to the Nigerian prince scam. That's right. According to police, they've nabbed a 67-year-old Louisiana man who swindled people out of thousands of dollars as a middleman in a Nigerian prince internet scam. Michael New of Slidell, Louisiana, about 30 miles north of New Orleans, is facing 269 counts of wire fraud and one count of money laundering. The scam involves the victim receiving an email from a Nigerian official who claims the recipient has been named a beneficiary in a will and will inherit at least $1 million. They are asked to send personal information, which is then used to con them out of their money. New has allegedly participated in hundreds of scams and has wired money to co-conspirators who do, in fact, live in Nigeria. The 18-month investigation remains ongoing. Slidell Police Chief Randy Fandel warned police people never to give out personal information over the phone or via email or to wire money to anyone they don't know. The chief warned if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Okay, hold on. Is this real life?
This is real life.
But
people
the guy's name, I know I digress. Randy Fandel?
Yeah.
Randall Fandel from Slidell?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's weird.
See, I just, when I saw this, I just kind of chuckled to myself because I'm going, when I first created an email address back in, I think it was 1994.
You get this one?
I got the Nigerian prince then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still going around. You would think over 20 years later, people are aware the Nigerian prince is not actually going to give you money. But somehow... it happened.
Oh, but
there was a big
a generational
one where
thing.
Bill Gates was giving out money and stuff too.
Oh, sure.
I get you get
yeah,
these.
Share this, and we'll give a penny to every share.
I honestly think the Nigerian prince one is hilarious, but it's sad to me, very sad to me, that it actually still works.
And when people fall for it, people were traveling to Nigeria to meet with the prince.
I feel like you should only fall for this if you. Maybe lived in Nigeria and think, oh yeah, the Nigerian prince, we go way back.
Yeah.
Right?
See, like, I can't help but like wonder if this is mainly the aged who fell for it. Maybe they're not as
spans. Like there are 30-year-olds that are traveling overseas to and then getting captured and
that's true, yeah. It's very weird. If it seems too good to be true, it is. Nobody in a country you have never been to, that
you're probably not their heir.
Sorry. Other people have right to their imaginary money.
Just be wise, people.
What?
Like, you gotta question this stuff. You have to. I mean, not to deviate from, but what I'm seeing right now going on Facebook is, ooh, you get a Tim's card. Share this, and you get. No, sorry. That's just mining all your data.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's a scam.
Yeah.
Be aware, people.
Now, that said, if you are a Nigerian prince, my address is on the bottom of the website. I'd be fine with you sending a boatload of cash.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.